Today on Real Radio.
One guy came up to me and said, Isaiah 17:1, can you show me that? I have to see that. Are you a Christian? No. It's my first time in a Christian church. He said, I was born in Damascus. It's right here. You know what he said? He said, I'm calling my relatives now. He was blown away. Only God would have arranged that divine appointment.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his timely series that takes a look at Bible prophecy. In fact, we're hearing a presentation called Bible Prophecy 101. There seems to be a growing trend in some professing evangelical churches these days to stay away from Bible prophecy. Yet the authors of Scripture included these prophecies for important reasons, as we're learning in this lesson called Bible Prophecy 101. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The day of Pentecost, when the church was born, that was 2,000 years ago. That ought to excite you. You want to know why? We are 2,000 years to the right of this timeline. We're 2,000 years down the road. And you know what's cool? Do you see that little thin line in the middle that says Israel established? That indicates, by the way, we'll get to it in the Bible prophecy in a moment, that indicates May 14th, 1948. You and I are living somewhere right of that little thin line. How exciting is that in Bible prophecy? So what are you saying? Well, I'm saying that the rapture could happen between that fat line and the skinny line. But where are we? I don't know. I think we're really close to that big line. I think we are really close. We are seeing amazing things taking place in the world around us. The world's gone nuts. And yet everything's coming together just exactly as God promised. The timeline of the church we look at today, and I want you to keep these three things in mind in light of this slide you're looking at right now. What did the Bible say? What did the Bible say about this? Well, the Bible says, and listen, Bible prophecy students tonight, keep this in mind. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10 says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles, that's us, shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is an amazing prophecy of Isaiah 11, verse 10. You want to know why? In Bible prophecy, You're going to be so smart by the end of tonight. It's called eschatology. We mentioned it on Sunday. Eschatology, see my hands? Do you see this? In fact, we live in a very unique spot where maybe after tonight, you'll never forget this. In Bible prophecy, there's what's called the near and far fulfillment. In other words, have you ever wondered how the Old Testament prophets made a prophecy that was so specific? But it had to be fulfilled in their lifetime in some way, shape, or form. That's called the near fulfillment. In other words, Isaiah made a lot of prophecies. But why didn't the Jews kill him for the prophecies not being fulfilled? Because they were near fulfillments. Near fulfillments speak of what is the culminating fulfillment. And they look like two mountaintops. You and I live in a bizarre part of the world when it comes to this fantastic illustration. Did you know, those of you who are pilots, Alan, you know this. Flying around Southern California here, there's a unique mountain range that displays the near and far fulfillment. And that is Saddleback Mountain right here, right down the 71, where the 71 and the 91 meet. You have Saddleback Mountain. Saddleback Mountain, however you fly around it in a 360-degree flight, it looks like a saddle on a horse, no matter what angle you're at, always. By the way the mountains are laid out, in any direction, you see two peaks, always two peaks from any angle. Other mountains, you see a mountain range, and then when you fly around it, they get in line with one another, and then they break up again. Not Saddleback. What's my point? In between these two peaks, the horn and the back end of the saddle part, are little creeks and valleys and trees and animals and stuff and Bambi running around and all that stuff in between these two locations. In between those two locations, that's life. That's generations. There's the near and there's the far. When this prophecy of Isaiah 11 is speaking about the ultimate culmination, the far fulfillment is the millennium. But the near fulfillment is Gentiles would come to believe in the God of Israel. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not Jewish. Maybe someone's Jewish tonight. But most of us are probably Gentile. Isn't it amazing? You sitting here tonight is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. You are literally the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Do you trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Have you been born again? Is your Messiah Jesus? Then you are the fulfillment of Isaiah 11:10. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus put it this way, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Isn't that awesome? Well, listen, what did happen? The next consideration is what did happen? Matthew 28, 18. Listen, the Bible says Gentiles are going to believe in God and that Jesus is going to build his church. Listen, if there's a skeptic in the house, let me ask you, do Gentiles believe in Israel's Messiah? And did Jesus build his church? You don't have to be a believer to know the answer to that. Well, listen to this. In Matthew 28, 18, the Bible says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, or behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or the end of the world. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, notice, epicenter, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and further out still, Samaria, and further out, Chino Hills, and to the end of the earth. From Jerusalem all the way out to the end of the earth, what would happen? The gospel would go out, and Gentiles would come to trust in Israel's Messiah. Did that not happen? That happened. Is it not happening? It's happening. What will take place concerning the church age? The next prophetic event awaiting the church is dual. I have to throw this in. It's dual. It's both persecution and the rapture. Persecution and the rapture. Persecution against the church since 1948 to this hour has escalated greatly. You may have seen, I didn't hear it on CNN today. I get push notifications, but I got it from Fox. Fox News, there's an alarming amount since we talked about it on Sunday. This is only Wednesday. And on Monday and Tuesday and today, Wednesday in the Middle East, which is already Thursday morning there, there's just horrific persecution taking place in Damascus and in Aleppo, throughout Syria, killing Christians. And it's increasing in the world, globally. It's persecution. There are those who are your brothers and sisters who are dying for their faith in Jesus. My goodness, last Sunday, I don't want to get too far off of this. Last Sunday after service, God is so good. God is so good. Last Sunday, I was meeting family and person and couple, one after another, after every service. Guess what country they were from? And many of them had never been to a Christian church before. I'll give you one guess. What country were they from in light of last Sunday's message? Syria. One guy came up to me and said, Isaiah 17:1, can you show me that? I have to see that. Are you a Christian? No. It's my first time in a Christian church. He said, I was born in Damascus. It's right here. You know what he said? He said, I'm calling my relatives now. He was blown away. Only God would have arranged that divine appointment. Persecution and or the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant. Ooh, listen to that. Church, don't be dumb concerning those who have died in Jesus, fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede or go up to those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Isn't that cool? He's not sending no angel. He's going to do this himself. From heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the word rapture right there. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Listen, what is about to take place? When will it happen? No man knows the day or the hour. Could happen tonight. Could happen tomorrow. Are you ready? I hope you're ready. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us what's going to happen in that moment. Imagine just walking along, sleeping, whatever we're doing. Gosh, I hope it's not too fast, because you know when you're startled, you don't know what's going on. I hope it's slow enough to like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I told you. Can you imagine? Hey man, you need to accept the Lord. Dude, it's too late for you. What's going to happen? 1 Corinthians 15, 51 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, 1/1000ths of a second, in the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. By the way, don't get confused about the last trumpet. Don't panic. Don't confuse the last trumpet with the trumpets of Revelation tribulation period. There's seven of those things. Don't get confused with those. This is the last trumpet. There's two trumpets. There's the first trumpet that draws the nation of Israel back into their own land. Declares that in the Old Testament. Remember, God told Moses, I want you to build two silver trumpets for the gathering of my people. Isn't this cool about this? Moses walked around 40 years in the wilderness, walking around, two trumpets. What is this? I blow one. The other one doesn't get to be blown. The other one's the last trumpet. Think of it. He would blow the one trumpet and gather Israel together. The last trumpet is God's Gentile people. There's God's Jewish people, the nation, Jews that are saved, trusting Messiah. And this one right here, the last trumpet, is the trumpet to gather God's Gentile people, us. Together, the church. It's awesome. Third point. Bible Prophecy 101 is the reestablishment of Israel. You're amazing here tonight. You're sitting here at a time throughout all of human history. You're sitting here tonight, and there's a nation called Israel that many of you have grown up taking that for granted. And yet, for millennia, there was no Israel. The reestablishment of the nation Israel. Cue the third slide, you guys, regarding the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. It's very specific. You saw a moment ago in the other slide, the Israel established, okay? And notice far to the left there, it says Mideast Peace Treaty signed preparation. Is that what it says? It's kind of hard for me to look into that light. And so what is that all about? If you're a scholar, Bible student, that's a simple reference to Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. The Bible says that just before Christ returns, there's going to be an imposter that shows up. The son of perdition, the Antichrist, we know him as Mr. 666. The Bible says he's a brilliant politician. The Bible says he's extremely arrogant. He'll speak pompous words, and he will exalt himself, and the whole world will be swooned by his ability. Watch, two things are attributed to him. He causes prosperity among the global economies, and he deceives the world by peace. He generates a peace treaty. And the Bible says it's with Israel that he makes this peace treaty. Isn't it awesome? Skeptic, unbeliever in the house, check it out. The Antichrist, the Bible says he makes a treaty with Israel, not Japan. The Bible says his treaty that he offers up is a contract for 7 years. That's a clue. How long is the tribulation period? 7 years. What happens? It is the official reestablishment of the nation of Israel. Now look, you are living in the time when you saw May 14th, 1948. We'll touch more on this in a moment. But Israel is going to be reestablished even further during the tribulation period. Yes, you will be under gross persecution. Yes, you will almost be destroyed. Yes, she'll be driven. Many will flee to Jordan for protection. Petra. In the Old Testament, it's S-E-L-A, Petra. But in the midst of all of that, God will be building his nation. And he's going to come and rescue his nation. What does the Bible say is the question we're asking. Deuteronomy 30. You guys okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm proud of you then because I got tired putting this together. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I've set before you. God said, I'll bless you if you stay with me, and you'll be cursed if you walk away from me. And you call them to mind among all, notice where they're at, among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. Why? Disobedience. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 3, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out of the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed. Listen, and you shall possess it. That's not what you're learning on the college campus today. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul that you may live. God's promise. The Bible says, I will bring you back from all the nations and reestablish you. Listen, the next consideration is this. What did happen? What did happen about this? Do we know anything about this? If we're skeptics tonight and we take a peek, do we know anything about this? Well, yeah. We would say in the modern age that it's called the Zionist movement. That's when Jews began to come from all over the world. I think, I may be wrong in this, but I think it started at about 1840 or 1850. It began to happen. It's been happening ever since with greater intensity. But on May 14th, 1948, Israel was declared a nation a second time in one day. In one day, Israel was received by the nations of the world. It's never happened before. Is that prophetic? Isaiah 66:8 says, who has heard such a thing? And who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in a day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Listen to this. For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. One day, Israel was brought back. By the way, within 24 hours, she was at war. She was attacked by all of her Arab neighbors within 24 hours. They had pitchforks, a couple of guns. It was ridiculous. And Israel, in fact, not only did Israel win, but every time there's a war in the Middle East, Israel expands. They never lose. They won't be losing. There's a time of great persecution coming against them, but they will never lose. That's God's word to them. Isaiah 27, verse 6 says, those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob. That's another name for Israel. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. I forget what ranking they are now, but in 1948, they were not on the map. They were zero. And today, for Europe and the Middle East, Israel is something like 4-5 or 3 or 5-4-3 or something like that among the nations producing fruit throughout all of Europe and the Middle East, Israel. By the way, we were in Israel and we had banapples. Did you hear what I said? Banapples. They mated bananas and apples. And you say, why don't you just eat a banana and an apple? Because the banapple had like super vitamins in it when they brought those two things together. Who would have thunk a thing like that? Anyway, you stick anything in the ground in Israel and it grows. It's ridiculous. It's amazing. There's stuff that we drive around the Sea of Galilee. You think, oh, where'd those mangoes come from? Hawaii? No, Galilee. Bananas, oranges, limes, dates, pistachios. It's endless. It's amazing. God is keeping his word. By the way, this is kind of fun. I throw this out every chance I get. If ethnicity mattered in obtaining a Nobel Prize, then what ethnic group has won more Nobel Prizes than any other ethnic group? The Jews. Did you know that? Jews. God says, I'll make you smart. By the way, all their captivity throughout all their history only made them tremendous bankers and investors. Did you know that? You ought to read about the Jews in Germany. The ones that survived, they were working because they were slaves. They were working for Hitler. They were bookkeepers. They were contractors and architects. They taught Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar taught them things that they later, when their freedom came, it caused them to prosper in industry, wherever they're driven in the world. By the way, you want to go to Israel and eat amazing food? Why is it so amazing? Because they were driven out from all over the world, and they brought all these this amazing food back to their land. It's amazing. Sign up. Actually, you can't sign up. It's already filled up. It's next time, maybe next year. Number four, I need to hurry. Oh, my goodness. No, not number four. This is the third consideration. Under number three is what will take place next. Well, as I mentioned, for us, it could be the rapture, but Isaiah 17:1, we talked about that on Sunday. Damascus, we don't know when, but Damascus has to be destroyed by whatever means, we don't know. That's looming. Psalm 83 is a battle that is coming where those who try to destroy Israel will themselves be destroyed. Of course, Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38, which is very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I don't have the time to get into this. But since last Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, the world, I don't know if you are keeping up with what's happened, but since the late 60s, about 69, since about 1969 to this week, the United States was the overruling influence in the Middle East, the United States. And this week, we were dethroned from that place, from that power. Barack Obama and Vladimir Putin played political chess. You never play chess with a Russian. And Obama got his tail whipped. And we lost our authority in the Middle East. And Russia now is ushered in this week. In the last 72 hours, Russia has become the kingmaker, as it were, in Mid-East influence. It's a sad day, first time since 1969 for us. What factor does that have? Read Ezekiel 37 and 38. Russia will lead a coalition of nations there.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson that emphasizes the importance of really understanding Bible prophecy, Bible Prophecy 101, that's the title of what we heard today. It's part of Pastor Jack's recent series that takes a look at Bible prophecy, current events in the Middle East, and what we believers can expect in today's world. We'll have more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're offering this entire conference, including what you just heard by Pastor Jack, all on one USB drive. In fact, you'll get both the MP3 files and the MP4 video files. You're going to like that. So again, the entire Awaken Prophecy Month series with Jay Smith, Mark Hitchcock, Charlie Campbell, and Jack Hibbs, all on one USB drive. I got to tell you, I actually sat in for most of this conference. You're going to love this USB drive with all this fabulous teaching. And that includes all the MP3s, as well as the MP4 video files for your computer or your mobile device. All we ask for is your contribution of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. If you'd like to learn more, visit us at realradioactive.org and then click on the button right there in the middle of the page that says Special Offer. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Now, if you'd like to send in your gift, our mailing address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.